our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast, Rich Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Rich Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who has been on the show a lot of times. I think that I actually don't know the exact number, but you're getting into like the half dozen zone, I think, at this point. In terms of appearances on the podcast. And then the first ones we did were way back when I was still, you know, visiting people in person and, you know, showing up people's houses or jam spaces or wherever else and doing interviews. And then you've sort of continued to be a semi-regular guest on the show throughout the COVID era and the Zoom thing. And so it's always good to have you on the show. It's unfortunate that the timing on this one is because your band that we've been talking about so many times over the years is packing it in. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself, give a bit of background about why you're here, what we're talking about, and we can sort of just launch into it.
For sure, yeah. I'm Ed DeRoche from Apollo Sons, the band leader, guitar player, one of the principal songwriters. So we've been around for about 11 years, playing shows for 10 years. In that time, we've done, I think I counted at almost 800 shows and festivals, and in that time, and all across North America, and I've got to travel, and we've got to travel, and did four EPs, a live album, and a full length, and are going to be recording what is to be our last show May 29th at the Park Theater. And we're going to be doing an 11-piece band. So we're going to have full horn section, lap steel, a couple guests, and two drummers, and auxiliary. Because I figured since budget is not an issue for this show, and I'm not trying to save up or pay off debt with this show, or do all the, you know, businessy type business stuff that people do, that I was like, okay, let's do the show that I've always wanted to do, and where I didn't have to think about how much we could afford or how many players we could afford or all this. So yeah, we've decided, or I made the decision, to the surprise of a couple and to not surprise of a couple other members, I wanted to put it down for a little bit. I don't know if Apollo Sons will do anything, but I decided to give myself about a year to step back from the music industry. Not playing, I'm still playing a lot and working with other people and potential projects that might see the light of day, but after being in the music industry for 20 years, I'm kind of disgusted by the music industry, and I unfortunately, due to the a lot of different changes in AI music and predatory practices, and even just the act of touring has become so hard. It kind of grinds you down after a while. Sure. Even though, like, last year we played maybe like 20 dates, which is our lowest we've ever played since we began our touring career. But we were making all right money. It was, it was a less is more type thing. And we'll give a quote and a fee. And if promoters or festivals can match it or go for it, we'll do the show. But even when it was like getting better and the hotels were nicer and food was nicer, it was still a grind, you know, like, it's kind of wild. Everything's more expensive. You see bands touring, canceling tours, and I don't know, I think everything's just becoming a little bit I saw a Rick Beato video. If you're not familiar with Rick Beato, he's like a music, he has a great YouTube channel.
Yeah, very popular channel talking about all the music industry stuff.
He did a great video of like, you need, a lot of the times you need to be so wealthy and or rich kids with the connections, or just having the family member that can give you $100,000, or like, yeah, Yeah, or like, or you have the more I learned about like a lot of the people that are making it, quote unquote, have already a leg up.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
They either have family members in the entertainment, they have people who are wealthy, or Taylor Swift's dad buys her a wing of the recording, the record label that then puts out all of her music and all
Yeah.
that shit. So,
Well,
you know.
it's interesting you say some of this stuff too, and I'm not sorry to interrupt, but because I think a
Yeah.
lot of people maybe in Winnipeg will see a band like Apollo Suns where you have been touring, you have released all these records, you seem like you are succeeding, and not to say that you weren't, but just that grind you're talking about is even bands at your level that seem like yeah you're doing good, are still going through that. Like there's such a very very thin line between
Yeah.
succeeding and like starving, as an independent artist.
Yeah, and I mean it was like for us, like we were getting paid a little bit, but like we all had day jobs still. We
Sure.
all m many of us had multiple jobs, and like for us, like okay, like we're 10 years in, we can try to keep going, and you know, none of us are playing music fundamentally to become wealthy, but the amount of labor that goes into running any sort of business, as well as something in music where everyone feels entitled to it for free,
Totally.
the amount of labor that gets devalued and trivialized in music is kind of wild. But we would be opening up for bands who are playing like big halls and theaters across North America, like the Walker Theater of a such and such city.
Yeah.
And even they still had, you know, they were selling 2,000 tickets a night, and even they still had day jobs. So like I think it's a part of the reality, and you know, it's something that isn't talked, it's being talked about more now. But yeah, like the amount of labor that goes into like running a band is just kind of like kind of wild. And at this point, like I've been touring for the entirety of my son's life up until now, and I was home maybe like 6 to 8 months out of the year,
Yeah.
but then gone 6 months out of a year, and you know, still trying to be as present as I could be. And when I'm home, I'm super present,
Sure,
but
yeah.
like I was like looking down the barrel of like, okay, he's 8 now. He's going to be home for 10 years and he's always welcome. And I think that whole idea of bullshit of like the kid's got to leave at 18 and go do his own thing. No, like that's stupid. That's just a story we were told in order to buy more shit we didn't need. I was looking down like, do I want to spend the next 10 years of his life where at 18 or 19, he might go travel the world for a year or two and I won't see him? And this is such a good time to be home and like really focus on community and myself and my family. And so I just was like, nope. You know, even though it's beautiful and I love the festivals and I love the people and I got to meet some really fantastic humans, I was like, I could just kind of stay home and garden now. You know,
Yeah. Well,
and I think that's good too.
I think at your age too, I mean, this is something that a lot of people don't think about too when they start a band 10, 20 years ago, and they get to this point where they do have kids and they do have these other responsibilities that kind of necessarily take priority over playing music, as much as you love it, as much as it would be great if you could do this forever, right? You have these things that
Yeah.
are more important, and I'm sure many of your bandmates do as well. And I guess kind of over the course of sort of seeing your band, grow and play these big shows and tour and things like that. I mean, you're sort of the constant in the band, right? You've had a lot of turnover as far as members, almost even from year to year.
Yeah.
And you're just this one guy still plugging away and sort of seemingly running things in the whole like Apollo Suns, like, you know, captain of the ship there.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely had a lot of core members. Like Aaron Bartell was in the band for 7 or 8 years. Bryn Herberger was there for 5 years. Anatole's been there since the first tour. Tim Oskirski has been about 4 years now. But man, horn players, oh my God, so hard to lock down. Because like, and also like all the serious, there are some great players in Winnipeg. There's tons. But like the horn players who are jazz studied, they're going to go out to Chicago, New York, Montreal, Toronto, or go to the coast. And like, you know, as great as the scene in Winnipeg is, and there's great players and it's dope, there is a low ceiling here. You know, like you have to leave Winnipeg or you're cool with being like, you have your weekly gigs and you're playing around and you do the folk fest, you do the jazz fest, and you do all the little street fests and all the little music in the park stuff. And you can make a living here as a musician, but like there's 3 or 4 full-time drummers in Winnipeg, 3 or 4 full-time bass players. And everyone knows their names because they get hired for the majority of stuff. And everyone else, you either got to wait for one of them to say, I'm out, or I'm sick, or this or that. Because like everyone's gonna hire Kevin Waters, everyone's gonna hire Julian Bradford, or the top three guys are like, Mark John Barron or whichever. I always forget the order of the names, but you know, like, but it's like
ones who have all the credits on everyone's records. It's the same people over and over again for a reason, right?
Yeah, I mean they're great, but then there's a lot of great players. So it's like, okay, with a city that's still close to 1 million people, but that's it.
Yeah.
There are no little suburbs, you have like the Chicagoland area, which is Chicago proper is like, what, like 2 million, but then you have all the cities around it. And same with New York, like Manhattan's this, but then you have all the boroughs and everything around it that you're like, okay, like, and you know, like Toronto, you have the whole GTA.
And here it's just so Winnipeg. You got Winnipeg, and then you got to go
just
5 hours down the highway.
And even then, people in the suburbs don't give a shit.
No, they don't come downtown. Yeah,
they don't come downtown. They come downtown to brave the downtown fears for a Jets game.
Totally. And
so really, the Winnipeg art scene, and there are people I know who are doing great work to try to, like, make Winnipeg, like, hey, like, suburbanites, come down. There's cool stuff. And Winnipeg and downtown is not this scary place.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's lots of cool stuff happening. But, there's a great art scene, but it's not like we have, and it's a thing with Canada in general. We have a huge country for 40 million people.
It's tiny population.
And then we're actually losing population right now because of our horrible immigration policies that are being thrust upon us by a conservative liberal government, So now we're actually losing people,
So what do you say then? I mean, if someone, say someone's in a band that's been around for a year, right? They've seen your band. They've watched you play over the years. You seem like a successful band getting out of Winnipeg in the sense that you're touring and all this. What do you tell them now? What is this event where Apollo Suns is packing it in mean to the little guy who is even smaller than you, who's like looked up to what you're doing? I mean, I'm sure, like you said, you're not quitting music. You're not doing this because you don't want to play anymore. But I mean, is this discouraging to that guy's band that you're packing it in?
And I mean, I don't think any band or anything should be discouraged by us calling it. It's not just the industry that did it.
Yeah.
And the industry as a whole, like, there are some really lovely people. I don't want to seem like I'm like, oh, everything's hopeless and all this. It's just, like, I'm almost 40. And while I'm in the arguably some of the better shape of my life. Hello, that's my wife, Jen. Hi, bye. Love you too. We, you know, like, I, I could keep on touring, like realistically, I could keep on going, but for me as an artist, and I just want to like before I answer your question, just say like it's nothing to do with like how anyone else could do out there. It's
Yeah.
like I am burnt out, I am tired, and I am creatively sapped, and my belief in Apollo at this point is like tenuous. You know, it's gonna be a great last show, and we're gonna like play our asses off, but like I need a break. But what I would tell a new artist or someone else, I mean, there's great new artists like Irvin Miller who's opening up for us. Oh
So
my
good. So
God.
good. Yeah.
So good. I am pumped for that kid. Like I'm just so excited to see what he does. And but what I would say is like, man, just like play for yourself. Do it honestly. And like that's what I did when I first started. I really believed and loved and still do think that Apollo Suns was a force of joy and goodness and an act of like resistance against the mundane, you know, like
Yeah.
I really loved and I still do, and I'm sure I will in the future once I've had a time to reflect and as I move into the middle age of my life, be able to recontextualize what Apollo Suns might be in the future.
Yeah. Well, I think
But
there's hours of you talking on this show about all of that. Like, I mean,
yeah,
it's yeah.
so yeah, so what I would say is like that, be brutally honest about what you want to do with everyone in the band. And if you're a songwriter, be honest about what you can do, what you want to do, how much time you have,
Yeah.
but also like and be smart, you know, like we played a lot because and we overplayed. I made the mistake, like full transparency, we did 160 shows a year to really hammer it out. And in some places that worked out really well. BC last year, we're playing 5 to 6,000 person crowds. Like it was great. It was lovely. It took 10 years to get there and a ton of debt and a ton of sweat and tears and joy and love and sweat and beautiful times and all the highs and lows of that. But like I think that it's like find ways to connect to an audience and like really play passionately and just give it everything. And then just be smart about the business stuff. Like, would I say, hey, go play 100 tour dates and really pound the pavement? Maybe not. Fine, you know, but like you do have to go out and play because I think what I've kind of seen is like we've had about 15 years of social media and influencer and this like augmented reality of what success looks like and what this looks like, that I think it's good to play live. I get turned off when a band is good in studio but sucks live. I'm like, you're not playing music at that point, you're playing a product.
For sure.
You know, if you can't play live to me, you're not shit, you know. You know, as bad as that, I it even kind of bothers me when bands use tracks or use auto tune live. I'm like, no, that's pretty lame.
It's
You know,
it is weird. Yeah. I think that, I
it's lame
mean,
to me.
not that they're,
It's lame.
yeah, no, I agree with you. Not that
Yeah.
they're the same, but I mean, I definitely see similarities having done a podcast for as long as I have, which is probably a similar amount of time to how long Apollo was around, just because
Oh, yeah.
you were on the show very early. And there's a lot of people who are doing the same thing I'm doing here, but they're doing it in order to become, they think they're going to become an influencer or think they become famous. And you can tell by the entire presentation that this is not about actually the content. It's about the presentation. And I think there's a lot of bands,
Yeah.
especially the way that music has gone now, in terms of like how it's consumed and how it's marketed and all that, who are
Yeah.
really more concerned about style than substance.
I think yes, and I try, like, Irvin is a great example, and I'd be so choked if it wasn't true, but he seems so s substantial
For sure.
with style as well, where I see some bands coming up who I know, and like they see more style over. You're not saying anything, you're
No.
saying what, and it really bothers me
You're
now, because
speaking
I'm
to the
like, you're
algorithm. You're not speaking to the actual audience.
yeah, and like there's so much garbage and plastic and formulaic and committee based and consultant based things, and like how is it going to play, or how's this, where I'm at the point even with myself, and it kind of, I let it happen in Apollo, where I started doing things that I didn't quite believe in or think, but I didn't listen to my gut, I listened to other voices, and they might not have even been wrong, but for me it didn't feel right. So I think it's like, man, there's something that I really love about like the punk and the rock and roll, not rock, but rock and roll. Everyone forgets to roll when they're playing rock, you know? Like, you know, so it's like there's something about like that. It's like just, I don't know, you know, just like just play and say something, and like, and you know, like it's not for everyone, and I don't think I would, it should be so dogmatic about it, but I'm like, for me, and then maybe I push that on to my, maybe I like, you know, like push that perspective, but like I think if you're not saying anything or challenging or really like challenging a narrative, or like really trying to create something special, then maybe you need to step back and take time, because man, there's so much garbage, there's so much slop.
It's
Oh my God.
crazy. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy how much crap there, and I don't want to be a downer, there's tons of good stuff too, but the amount, because crap gets attention, because people like to rage bait and
Yep.
clickbait shit and slop, and like there is so much crap that I am just enjoying gardening, going to community stuff, going to concerts and cabarets, and reading
Yep.
and taking time, like to really and taking time to slow down and really connect with the community, and join soul you know, like groups, and get into organizations and join boards of community activism groups and all this stuff, that I'm like, yeah, this shit makes sense. And now when I'm thinking about music, how can I bring that feeling to music now, of like if I'm gonna play more, and if I'm going to create another band or do this, how can it be in service of that? And not becoming famous or capitalizing or commodifying art. My God, I'm so sick of commodification of art forms. It's like you lost the point, you know? Like the point of art is to challenge that, you
For
know?
sure, for
Like
sure.
for me anyway, my
I think
God,
you're
like.
right. I think a lot of people, I mean, and regardless of what genre of music you play, I think a lot of people, they seem to have missed out on like the key period of being into punk rock as a teenager. Like that to me, that DIY-ness
Yeah.
and that like just make the thing happen, whether you can do it or not, just do it, is something that I think a lot of people missed out on. And I'm not sure why, but I feel like being in the punk scene at like 13 or whatever, that hammered that super home with me. And I think a lot of people in the local music scene as well, you can sort of tell who came from that sort of background and has those values and stuff. It doesn't need to sound like punk rock, but that kind of aesthetic
Yeah.
of it is really important, I think, for being able to be creative without worrying about what other people think and just having the
Yeah.
permission to just do your shit however you want to do it. And I feel like you guys had that attitude despite being very far musically from punk rock. Although there's
Oh.
arguably there are elements of what you did that could be seen as punk.
I referred to the band for a while as punks. We were like little punk shits. You know, like Benjamin Hill, beautiful person, literally got arrested and in contempt of court for being a tree hugger out in BC and tying themselves to a tree
Right.
to stop a pipeline to protect old growth. How much more punk is that, to literally put your body in front of this violent structure that is destroying the world, you know, like that is something I aspire to. I find Benjamin so incredibly inspiring because of what a good person they are, or like, even though they make mistakes and they are human, you know, Benjamin is very, for me, inspiring, even though they're like 10 or 15 years younger than me, maybe only 10 years, but that to me, like that punk, or that punk or DIY or whatever you want to call it, the non-conformist conforming, because everyone critiques punk is like, oh, they all look the same. I'm like, well, do they, or do you just not understand like the stylistic minutia of, you know, like, but like, but that kind of like that vibe, that punk lifestyle, not so much music, or you don't have to wear spikes
exactly.
and a mohawk or this or that to be a punk, you know, like a crusty older like hippie folk who are homesteading and weaning themselves off the capitalist slop are punks to me, you know.
For
like
sure,
even
they
though
are, yeah.
they don't listen to punk music, you wouldn't pick them out, but they are in small ways uncoupling themselves, and if they're joining community and mutual aid and
yep.
doing the thing and like uncoupling, that is punk, you know, like to me anyway.
I agree with
for
you,
whatever
man.
That means.
Well,
yeah,
neither side likes to admit it, but I think crust punks and hippies are like the same people, just they just
oh, yeah,
listen
totally.
To one side listens to louder music. That's like the only difference. I mean
yeah.
they're wearing
now
the,
don't get me wrong, those hippie dippy like ooh feel the vibration and that, like that's fine, but if it's like ooh feel the vibration and let's do a bunch of ass and just talk about peace but without actually doing anything,
right, it's the doing part, the doing part.
Bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hate that crap. I hate that crap so much when they're like the Raver kids and then they don't do anything and you're like, okay, so you're just, you know, like, oh great, so it's you're reactive but you're not revolutionary, you know, like
sure.
you're not you know, like it's, oh, I hate, sorry. Like I'm challenging these things in myself now because I want to be a better human. So when I see it, when I'm like, oh man, you're like performative, you know, like it's,
that's
yeah,
the word
anyway.
For it. Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. could talk about this forever, but you have this show coming up. It is the last, for now anyway, as far as anyone knows, Apollo Sun show. What are the details of the show? You got a massive band for this one?
Yeah, so we got an 11-piece. Everyone who's playing on stage with us has been a part of this story. So Ethan McKibben is flying in from Kelowna. He was our original drummer. So it'll be Tim Iskierski and Ethan on drums. Erica Einerson's coming back to play percussion. It'll be a mix of all the Apollo Sun stuff. So like from the first album to some unreleased tracks that we've never played live that will be... We're full horn section. Lloyd Peterson's gonna be joining us on lap steel. And Lloyd's been part from the very beginning. And it's gonna be 11 piece at the Park Theater. Tickets are $22. We wanted to make it very affordable. Everyone was like, why don't you charge more? It's the last show. And like, no, that's not cool. And I'm sure even if they're a little more expensive, we would still pack the place. But I was like, no, like let's have it be everyone can get paid well, while still only it being $22.
For sure.
Irvin Miller is going to be joining us.
That's a great fit. I think it's a really good combination of artists. Yeah.
And I wanted to say we're going to be having some folks from Mutual Aid Society there. I'm currently working with them. So Mutual Aid is a community-run, volunteer-based group that started in the pandemic.
Yeah.
They are going to be there. Any donation to them will get you some free Apollo Suns merch. So, get some merch, get it out of my basement, and all the donations go to supporting Mutual Aid, helping us get resources to get more people. And Mutual Aid is not exclusive to severe, like, unhoused people or this or that. Like, you know, I've used Mutual Aid because, you know, it's getting harder, and it's a great way to foster community, meet your neighbors, connect with everyone, and it's citywide. So my house right now is a distribution hub. So I've handed out and coordinated packages to people. But so we're using the show to spread awareness about Mutual Aid, give a whole spiel at the show and all that. And then, whoever buys Apollo Suns merch, we're going to be donating that to the West Broadway Community Center, also known as Broadway Neighborhood Center. They do a ton of work with youth. They run a great summer camp. My son uses it. They do a ton of workshops there. They do a ton of community outreach, working with harm prevention, actual harm prevention, not the cops exclusively. So I think that if any way that we can support the community and actually support, because I think that we support us and we keep us safe. So So we're going to be using the Apollo Sun show to kind of raise funds and help different community groups as well. So that's it. May 29th at the Park Theater. I think it's going to be really lovely. We've been rehearsing for a little bit, and I'm really excited. You know, it's funny, there's times where like we'll be rehearsing, I'm like, man, maybe I don't need to put it down, but then it's like, you know, that love of music is still there, but it's like, no, I need to step away from the business of it just to like reconnect with like what it is I want to say or do next.
So quickly before we run out of time here, With this being the last show, someone could hear this, because I do this show apparently forever. Someone could hear this 10 years from now, and maybe Apollo Suns is still dormant at that point. Maybe you're back. Who knows? But what's the best way to find your music, whether it's next week or a decade from now, when apparently I'm still doing this podcast because I can't stop?
We're on what are we on? We're on Bandcamp. It's always going to be on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
But I've started removing all of our music from Spotify, iTunes, all the streamers. Bandcamp is free. We don't make money from you listening, but there is a way that you can support the band. You can buy albums there. It goes to us outside of like a small cut that Bandcamp takes. But I wanted to remove our stuff from Spotify and all those streamers. I know it's not going to make a huge impact, but Jeff Bezos doesn't deserve our shit. Whatever his name is, Daniel Ek can go himself.
Yeah.
You know, so YouTube, you can find that. The Apollo Sun's website is now down. Okay. I've like because it but. I'm just slowly removing we're always gonna have Instagram and Facebook. I use the Apollo Sun's Instagram page to share, you know, community news or cool bands I like, or hey, if this is a good here's a good take on this, like, you know. So yeah, we're always gonna be around. Maybe when I have a new band, or if Apollo Sun's ever does come back, we'll keep doing stuff there.
Cool. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much.